Hello and welcome to the fall season edition of the Outdoor Podcast, proudly created by bowhunterplanet.com. This show is really cool because it does focus on outdoor activities and other things people like to do in the outdoors, including hunting, camping, fishing, and all the above. So make sure you guys tune in for this great season coming up in our fall 2024 podcast. The show today is brought to you in part by Easton Archery, Gas Bowstrings, Trophy Ridge, Moultrie Mobile, Vapor Trail, Burris Optics, The Bow Hitch, and caffeine provided by Deer Camp Coffee. Now, on to the show.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Outdoor Podcast. I'm Tim, this is Dave. We are joined tonight by a couple of our good friends, Braden and Eric from Gas Bowstrings. Gentlemen, it is great to see you. I know that it's pretty busy for you guys right now, and I appreciate you carving out some time for us tonight.
Yeah, it's great to be here. It's been really wild. We got guys coming in, starting building strings at 5 in the morning, and we've got some out in the back still doing it right now. Guys are working weekends. Like, we are doing everything we can, and it's still not enough.
I can imagine. So, tis the season right now, right? I know the weather around our neck of the woods, you know, we're getting a little taste of that colder weather. You know, we're not quite there yet, but I think this is the time that everybody starts thinking about the fall period and I got to get some bowstrings on my bow, huh?
Get this thing rolling.
Yeah, for sure. I took the gas out. I took the trash out the other morning, and it was like, ooh, feels like deer season.
It does. It's exciting. So how do you guys – so what I'm always curious about is, like, you guys do a lot of different types of strings. How, like, for different bows, I mean, right? And they're all a little bit different. How do you guys stay organized in the manufacturing of all of that?
You want me to take this one?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So we've had to somewhat automate our system to do it at the production levels that we have. So to start with, you know, string specs, that's a monster in itself. So having the specs, the lengths, the serving location, the speed knock locations, all that stuff for, you know, all these bows that we might have. We've got a database with over 6,000, you know, sets of specs. So we're dating all the way back into the early 2000s, maybe even late 1990s, you know, a lot of these different bows. So, you know, in doing that, we print what's called a build form that goes along with every string order. And that, you know, that helps us. That's basically the recipe for how to build that string. And that stays with the string for the entire life. And even our builders. So the person that does the layup process, they sign their initials. The person that does the finishing, they sign their initials. The person that does the QC, they'll also sign their initials. So we all know, like, what station these things come from. We know who built the strings. We have total accountability. But then that build form actually goes in the invoice, you know, for the customer, and we keep that. So we have a total paper trail for all that stuff. But, you know, to keep track of all that stuff, it's really it takes quite a bit. It's a lot more than just, you know, some stuff on the back of a notepad and trying to do stuff like that. I mean, it has to be a pretty orchestrated effort.
Yeah.
So, Eric, you and I have talked on the podcast before about longevity of strings and cables, especially the ones that come with the bows when people buy them, if they're not gas bow strings, like they just buy the stock, whatever it comes. Can you speak for a minute just on how long people should be keeping those strings before replacing, obviously replace them today, day one, but I'm just saying, like, in a nutshell, like for compounds and crossbows, what your thoughts are on how long they should last on basic usage and high-end usage, I guess.
And so crossbows, honestly, some of these high performance crossbows, they have, you know, a few of the brands. I'll be honest with you. I recommend changing them annually. I mean, some of these, I mean, I'll just, you know, these 400, 450, even 500 feet per second crossbows. I mean, we all know the different brands. I mean, they've got, you know, tiny little cables on them. It is. You know, even just for safety purposes and stuff. I mean, that's a, you know, change them annually. Cause you're leaving these things cocked, you know, potentially 8 hours, 10 hours. Some people forget and leave them that way. It's really, really hard on them. I mean, if I'm using my crossbow a fair amount on a high performance crossbow, I'm going to say change them annually. Compound, that's a different story. I mean, that's basically going to be, you can't really put a time frame on it. I mean, I could see a good set of strings, you know, lasting somebody 3, 4, 5 years or more. If they took care of it, didn't shoot their bow very often, you know, kept it out of the sunlight, did all that stuff. You know, on the flip side, if you've got somebody that's shooting, you know, all spring and summer, just hammering away, and they're a little bit harder on their bow, they're in the brush, they're, you know, bringing their stuff through briars and different things like that, and they're wearing it, you know, that may be an annual situation where they have to change them once a year as well.
So what do you recommend looking for if you're a compound bow shooter? You know, what I need to look for, I guess, on the string and cable to know if I'm having an issue?
Yeah, so, I mean, wear and abrasion is going to be the biggest thing. So if you've got – those are going to be the ones that you can tell. If you see areas where you've got cut strands, where you've got a lot of abrasion on the string, you know, sometimes that can – you know, you can kind of buff it out per se. I mean, you can use some wax and do a little bit of that. Once that gets to the point where that's just not working anymore, then, you know, then it's probably time to look at replacement. Anytime that you have, you know, major serving separation that where it's into the bare string, you know, that's also an issue. But I think, you know, one of the things that people lose sight of is, you know, a lot of times the string itself and the cables, the whole system might tell you when it's time. So, you know, take for example, let's say you've got a bow that's well shot in, you're on year two on the strings and cables. The timing's been fine. The bow's been shooting great for you all along. You know, you haven't had to fix timing or make any tuning adjustments in forever. And then all of a sudden your bow just starts acting a little wacky. Something acts a little funny. Your timing's gone out or whatever that is. That is breakdown in your fibers. Somewhere in the string, in the fibers themselves, there's something that's breaking down, that's, you know, causing some issues, and it's time to change. I think if people, you know, could pay attention to that, I think, you know, we can learn from the bow hunting side, you can actually learn a lot from a target shooter's perspective. That's one of the things that I think, you know, for years, if you look at the great target shooters and everything else, they will run that set of strings until they absolutely can't anymore. And it'll be very, very telling on a bow, because it'll be shooting extremely well. And then all of a sudden things just start going a little bit quirky. And when that happens, that's sometimes a sign that, okay, yeah, it's time for a fresh set of strings. And then everything kind of comes back, and it's, you know, you're right back where you were.
Breaking down of the fabric, you know, internally sounds kind of like my muscles. You know, over time, I feel like they're just going down instead of up.
I thought it was more Star Trek-y, you know, breaking down the fabric.
I can see this muscle has just gotten lower and smaller. And I'm feeling
I love it. No, and that's a good point. I mean, I don't think, you know, in years of talking to people about their bows and all that kind of stuff, I don't think people think about their strings first when they have issues with their bow, right? Like if they have a drop away and it's not, you know, one that's tied to the string, you know, and it's not working right or anything like that, you know, they're trying to fix everything. And I think the string comes last, but I think that's a really good point, is, you know, you're going to replace the string at some point, right? It's going to have to be replaced. Why not start with that? Right. And why not get a gas bowstring that's going to last a super long time, so you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. At that point. So
one of my favorite things about ordering strings from you guys and cables is the color stuff, right? There's so many choices. And I guess I'll throw it back to you guys. Like, what are you seeing? Like, what's the most popular color schemes you're seeing, and what do you guys like as well?
And is there a difference between target shooters and hunters?
Any short-sighted spy in the field can provide you with images. Only the Moultrie Edge 2 cell cams provide tactical reconnaissance. High-resolution photos and videos paired with detailed intel of where game is most active. Built for simplicity, just turn on your Edge 2 cell cam and it will auto-connect to one of the four major cellular networks, while our easy-to-use app arms you with game plan so you can determine where and when to hunt. Don't just capture images. Gather intelligence.
The most advanced range-finding bow sight is now even better. Introducing the Oracle 2 from Burris. Based on customer feedback, we improved the pin brightness control, refined the LRF adjustment system, and brightened the aiming ring. There's still no glass to scratch, fog, glare, or break, and the fail-safe 20-yard pin has your back no matter what. At the push of a button, you instantly get the yardage to target. Extend your ethical distance with the Oracle 2 from Burris. Burris.
But Easton match-grade shafts undergo a far more meticulous straightness check, with razor tolerance at both ends, the center, and the critical quarter locations. Discover the ultimate in precision and made in USA quality. Visit your authorized Easton dealer and pick up your Easton Match Grade Pro Shop Series arrows today.
Established in a small town in Kentucky in 1981, a company that produces quality products that archers have come to rely on. I started shooting with a Scott release and have passed the tradition on. As I've aged, the company I started with continues to innovate and produce the premium products it always has. My dad always told me, never forget where you came from. Well, I haven't. Shoot with confidence. Shoot a Scott.
What does it mean to be unrivaled? To be unrivaled isn't about winning a trophy. It's about putting in the hours that nobody else sees. To be unrivaled isn't just a choice, it's a lifestyle. It's to push yourself to be your best day in and day out. Gas Bowstrings. Be unrivaled.
For more than 20 years, Trophy Ridge has developed tools that bow hunters trust and continue to lead the way in bow hunting innovation. Our field-proven products dish out dirt naps all over the world. We've manufactured and sold millions of products along the way, each one strategically designed to give you a distinct advantage in the field. From the backyard and competitive courses, to the backcountry and Midwest cornfields, our products remain lethal, accurate, and continue to help you react to the situation at hand. Trophy Ridge accessories give you confidence, regardless of the situation. Our sights, rest, stabilizers, quivers, and releases set you up to be successful season after season. There are plenty of factors to think about on the hunt. Your gear shouldn't be one of them. We're Trophy Ridge, and we build the tools that bow hunters trust.
We are outdoors people, boating, fishing, hunting, and we are coffee lovers. My husband and I, we met at a coffee shop about 20 years back. So we've grown to love different blends, different beans, and different types of coffee. And throughout our time together, we decided that we wanted to create something for ourselves. So that's where this all came into play. And it's not just an outdoorsman, it's women, men, children, it's the community that come in here and they like it. They sit down at our cafe. They might have a venison hot dog, a cold brew coffee, and they enjoy their time here.
From the Target side of things, we see a lot of freak show. People are, you know, they're going for the low dye, low wax, ultimate stability. We also have a lot of Target shooters that are going with the Ghost XV because it's a really good all-around string. Someone who's shooting their bow indoors, outdoors, field shooting 3D with all of the repellents in it, to keep your string fresh. It's definitely a good choice. Color-wise, for high octane, that's really all over the place. People are matching their sights, their arrows, their quivers, like they're doing everything. So that's kind of personal preference. For me, I'm more of a natural guy. I like that good clean look with the gunmetal serving on it. How about you, Eric?
Yeah, I don't. I kind of go a little bit flashy. I like the Ghost XV with kind of my go-to has always been the Ghost White with flow green serving. It pops, you know, when you put flow over top of what's already white. I mean, it just pops. Flow yellow, flow green, flow orange, all those colors, they look amazing on there. I think colors as a whole, it really, yeah, our buckskin super popular, flow green, flow orange, red and blue. I mean, you know, we have all these tons of colors, but I can tell you from just ordering material, those are the ones that we tend to run through the quickest.
Now, from a manufacturing standpoint, does it take you longer start to finish to do something with color than just your normal string colors?
Oh, not necessarily. So everything that we build custom, you know, we basically have to grab the spools off the shelf and whether you picked, OD green or flow green or, you know, black or tan or whatever, it's pretty much the same. Now, that said, we have some different production allocated to our blackout series of strings. So those are ones that we kept in stock. I mean, we had a giant back stock of these that we build kind of in the off season so that this time of year we can get stuff out quicker for people who want, you know, just black. Now that that's depleted, you know, we still have to work through that. But we have other production that's kind of allocated just to the black. So where somebody might be building, you know, five sets of, you know, a particular model, you know, all at the same time, rather than having one custom, another custom, another custom. So that's pretty much the only thing. So the time frame that it actually takes to build the string, it's pretty much the same. We have our production allocated, you know, a little bit different.
Now do pro shops stock gas bow strings, or they can't because they don't know what bows, or do they actually stock for certain bows, kind of hedging that they might have someone come in for that bow?
Yes. Yeah, they do. And if they don't, they should be.
And what, like, which bows? Like the Lift, I'm assuming, some of the more popular things, I'm assuming?
I mean, if you look at, you know, if you're a Matthews dealer and you're dealing with our strings, I would say the majority of the dealers that we have, the larger dealers, they are stocking our strings now. But you know the bows that you're going to sell. You know your Lift. Last year from the 2 years prior, your Phase 4s and your V3Xs, and, you know, how many switchbacks are still running around? You know, there's a gazillion switchbacks that are out there. All right. Every year there's going to be a handful of people, if not several hands full of people, you know, that are going to walk in. They're going to need strings for their switchback. There's a lot of common bow models. I mean, we see it every day. For a while, you know, a lot of years with a lot of the different Hoyt bows, they might have had different cam sizes, so that made it a little bit tricky. Now everything's all in one cam size. You're seeing a lot more of that. A lot more things are streamlined, so it becomes a lot easier for a dealer to stock the popular bow models that they carry. Some of the Diamonds, some of the Bowtechs, PSE Stinger X. There's a gazillion of those things out there as well. It's a lot easier to have the choice. I mean, I think somebody, especially this time of year, they come in and they're ready, right? I mean, they waited, it's too late. They're not going to be picky about colors at this point, you know, which is why, I mean, we do have the program with our blackout where there's about 200 different bow models that we stock. So that is helpful. But you know, for the dealer to, it's a great time to have another set of strings. You know, they're already setting the bow up. They've got the bow in the press. They're putting in the peep sight. They're tying on the loop. They're tuning everything else. What better time to do that than right there? So it's something that we are encouraging, and we're seeing a lot more of it every year. It definitely has changed. If you had told me, you know, 5 years ago or, you know, 10 years ago before I was even, you know, doing this with gas, that, you know, bowstrings would become almost an accessory item that dealers would be stocking, that there'd be orders for hundreds of, you know, stock strings to be able to put on the wall, I would have said you're crazy. But we see it now, and it really helps, because, you know, as I said, you know, at this time of year is crazy, crazy, crazy. Everybody needs something, and to have something sitting there ready to provide your customer, as opposed to having to call and wait weeks, maybe a month at this point, it's definitely, you know, definitely helps out.
So if you got somebody that, you know, wants to get some Gasparilla strings on their bow, can they walk into any dealer and their dealer can get it from you, or would you need them to go online and order it and then take it into the dealer to have them put it on? What do you recommend and what do you see? And
yeah, so we're very dealer centric. So we work with our dealers. You know, our preference is that if you have a local pro shop that you frequent, they're going to be doing the work. They're going to be installing the strings and doing all that. Is to work with your pro shop, and any dealer can order from us. I mean, we have accounts directly set up with over 800 dealers. So we work with a vast majority of the dealers across the country. And even if, you know, somebody's not a dealer with us, there's times of the year that we don't take on new dealers. And that's only because we need to, you know, like this time of year, we need to service the dealers that we have. But our strings are also available through distribution, like, you know, Kinsey's, Lancaster, stuff like that, you know, on the dealer side as well. So I think there's, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to get that. Now, we do sell direct as well. Some people are, you know, they're the DIYs and they don't use a dealer. They do their own bow work and that's fine. And, you know, for those guys, you can buy from us direct and that's fine. We sell that way as well.
I was going to say, I encourage people watching this right now or listening, I encourage you to honestly consider, even if you don't need the strings and cables, I would just buy another set, because I'm just telling you, when you hit the field and something goes wrong, at least you'd have them to take to a local dealer or a pro shop next to you and get them redone instantly, or do it yourself if you want to do it yourself with the bow press that you bring or whatever. But my point being is, like, you know, we talk about the the Team BHP Archery Repair Kit that we created.
Absolutely.
It's a backup concept, but part of that concept is you still have to have your strings and cable extra to be able to make a change in the field, or at least take it to the local pro shop and have it done. I mean, they might not have it in stock for that bow, right? So at least then you have it and be like, hey, I got the strings and cables extra. Can you just put them on and pay the fee?
You know? No, you're right. I mean, there's plenty of men and women out there that when they go hunting, that might be the only time that they're going hunting that year. You know, they might be going to a hunt camp and spending 4 days in a hunt camp. And not, you know, I do some of that. When I'm at hunt camp, we're not leaving hunt camp unless there is a major issue, right?
Yeah.
But in that scenario, if something happened in that week that I'm hunting and my strings broke and the dealer doesn't have anything in stock, I'm done. There's no shooting my bow at that point. So that's a great point.
Even
is to
for
keep
crossbows,
like 100% for crossbows. I mean, I definitely see strings on crossbows break a lot more than compounds, right? Especially for crossbows, but even for your compound bow, why not have an extra set? That's a great point.
Nick it with a broadhead. It with a knife.
You carry a spare tire, right, in your car.
Here's the thing. For us, in my own experience, and you guys, I'm sure, have had experiences in the field with things like this, but we went on a bear hunt in Canada, and we're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, literally middle of nowhere. No pro shops around, nothing. And the guy's sight broke, one of the guys in our group. And another guy's D-loop broke. And guess what? We had no D-loop material, and we didn't have any extra bow sights. How stupid, right? And you're thinking like, oh, and that's what gave us the idea to do that little kit we did, is because we're like, dang, dude, I'm going to do these just for us, just to throw them in our bag, you know? And that was my point, is like, something like this is very serious, because if you are in any scenario where you accidentally nick that string with a broadhead or a knife, or just, God forbid, breaks, you know, in the field, you got to be prepared. So I would just tell everybody, like, you know, just just do it.
Yeah, just do it. So I was curious. I know your strings don't break, right? But I know that you guys have experience and you guys have heard things about, you know, bow strings breaking. So like the ones that are OEM, right? That come on, you know, that come on your bow when you get it off the shelf. And let's say you're just buying an off the shelf, you know, cheaper bow to get into archery. Where do you see the failure point on most strings?
I don't necessarily see one direct area where you see failure from a catastrophic standpoint. So I guess that should be the first thing I say. You know, I don't think that there's a scenario in which, you know, you buy a bow and you've got the factory strings and all of a sudden your bow is going to just explode and your strings are going to blow up on you. I don't think that. I think that really what you see with factory strings is things that are going to be like, you know, you might see some peak rotation, you might see elongation. You know, one of the biggest things that you might have frustrations with a factory string as opposed to a good aftermarket pre-tension string is that, you know, you set it up, you have your speed right, your tune's basically there, you continue to shoot, and all of a sudden things are off from where they were, you know, and a lot of that could be, you know, slight elongation on the strings and stuff. That's really the biggest thing that I see. You know, a lot of times people will, you know, claim, you know, it's a better performance just with the construction and the build of the fibers and everything else on an aftermarket string versus, you know, versus an OEM string. Now, that said, I mean, I'll say this, there are great OEM strings. And then sometimes OEM strings that come on bows, a lot of times they can be hit or miss. So what I'll say is that you may get a great string, and you may get a string that you may have to, you know, add some extra twists or, you know, shoot it in a little bit more or, you know, whatever you might want to do there. So, you know, people always ask us because it's a hard position to say, hey, listen, I just spent $1,500 on a brand new bow and now I've got to go buy a brand new string on top of that. You know, I mean, heck, I already spent all this money. So, you know, I think I always take the approach and it really touches on what you just brought up a second ago is that no, you don't have to, but it is like, you know, aftermarket tires that you're going to put on a vehicle. And if you're serious about this, having an extra set of strings is probably a good call anyway. So here's what you do. Put the best strings on, right? Get a good set of aftermarket strings, take those factory strings and keep them. And now you have a backup set. So now, you know, if something does happen the day before you leave for a big hunt, you know, or whatever it is, you know, I mean, these guys that are shooting tack events, you know, throughout the year, you know, that's become a big deal. And you'll have somebody, you know, call us, be like, I'm leaving tomorrow, you know, to shoot my buddies at tack. And, you know, I don't have, my string blew up, you know, and it's wild. So, but, you know, whatever, I mean, it's important to everybody, but at least you have an extra set of strings at that point, an extra cable, an extra yoke, whatever you need that saves the day. So I think that's the, you know, that's the best way to look at that.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And you're right about that. I mean, I honestly can't remember the last time I bought a car and didn't immediately get a different set of tires on.
Or camper.
Yeah, camper. Same thing with camper, right? So, every time I buy a car, I upgrade it to all-terrain tires, right? I'm getting that better tire, the one that's going to work for me harder, longer, and that's exactly what you're saying is, why not put that on first, and then if you need a backup tire, you got it, but, you know, start off with the good set. And I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, it's exciting time of year.
So, Eric, how long has gas been going now? It's been a while.
Tomorrow will mark our 7th anniversary.
Wow. That's awesome.
It'll be, yeah. Yep. It was, we'll put some social media posts out and do some things about that. Tomorrow is our 7th anniversary. It's pretty cool. It seems, you know, part of it seems like we've been doing this for 25 years and, well, I mean, gosh, I guess I probably have, but, and then, you know, in other ways, I mean, it just seems like this has just flown by. These last 7 years have been, you know, a blur. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool.
Did you ever think it was going to be this successful?
You know, I don't want to be uppity and say yes, But I will say that when I went into this, I had a pretty detailed plan, and we, as a company, you know, we built a really good team, and we executed on that plan for many years. You know, we had a lot of bumps in the road, and we're dealing with one now. But I'll say, I never knew really what the ceiling was for Bowstrings. You know, knowing, you know, market research and having, you know, some history with some other companies, I kind of had this idea of where I thought, you know, we could be. And we have definitely blown all of that stuff away and continue to do that, I think, which is really, really cool. But as far as, you know, the achievement on the success, I can tell you that's attributed to, you know, real good strategic planning, building a great product, having an incredible team, and, you know, and providing excellent customer service. You know, at the end of the day, if you build a great product, if you're transparent with your customers, and you provide them great service, it's not that hard to, you know, to make a good brand and to, you know, create repeat customers.
Yeah. There's this thing like in the industry that I've noticed, at least, and, you know, since we've been doing this since 2009, I, you know, and we came into the industry as a nobody completely. And our thing was always like, I want to be a nobody. I want to come in here and show what an average person thinks of these things. Right. But one of the things I picked up on in this industry over time is people. And the people I picked up on are people like yourself, people who are just clearly driven to get something done and succeed. And there's a lot of people who aren't, but you can flush them out very fast. And that's what I was getting to, is like, there's so many people I've seen come and go in the industry that I was not surprised they left. You know what I mean? Like that they weren't successful, but yourself, I knew you're going to be successful once I saw gas, and I was like, oh, Eric's got that. That's going to go. And sure enough, here we are. And I'm not surprised at all. I was like, oh, that's going to do very well. Because again, you have to dedicate yourself to something. It doesn't matter what it is, really. I mean, you have to dedicate yourself to what you want to achieve, and you have to make it happen, you know? But it takes a special person to do that. It really does. It's not a simple...
You really said the three things that we've heard over and over again from successful owners, and that's quality, process, and customer service. There's not been a company that I can remember that didn't put customer service on the top of what they do and ended up failing in the end. Because that's really what it comes down to, right? Is that your customers, the people that are coming to you, to protect their investment, right? Because these are not what they're doing with your strings. They're not putting it on a $5 product. You know, they're putting it on something that they've saved potentially years for, you know, yeah, in order to get and in order to use. And not only that, to fill their freezer, to feed their family. I mean, you name it, right? And the memories that they make, you know, with it as well. And, you know, putting customer service at the top of all of that, we've just heard time and time from all the top companies out there. So right on. And you know, we appreciate hearing that, because, you know, when we work with companies, we want that to be the center of their focus as well, right? We're in a way, you know, working with you, you're working with us, and, you know, we love your products. You guys got amazing products that you guys are putting out there. And, you know, our people are looking at that going, yeah, we trust you guys, and we trust you guys. And I think it's a, you know, it's a two-way road there. So we appreciate that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's incredible to work with Eric every day. Like you were mentioning earlier, it's really easy in this industry to see who's created success and who's had success happen to them. And with Eric, you know, every day we come in and it's such a team atmosphere. He's never the dictator that says like, hey guys, these are the things we need to do. This is how we're going to do them. Go get it done. Every decision's a group think where we all combine ideas. We, you know, we sand things down, we make them better. We work together to get something that everyone's all bought in on. And that team atmosphere is unlike anywhere else I've ever worked, where it's just, everybody's constantly trying to hone each other and make every decision the best we can for ourselves, for the customer, for our employees, for everyone across the board. And, you know, like from the customer service angle, one of my favorite emails is the one where a guy is frustrated, angry, having a bad day, his bow broke, and turning that guy's day around and making it, you know, a successful, a happy experience for him, where it's like, you know what? I may have had a problem, but gas went above and beyond to fix it. So like I really kind of embrace the challenge every day, and it's all a trickle down from Eric himself.
Right on.
Yeah,
that's a hard culture to create in a company, Eric. It really is. So I mean, that's an amazing thing when you have the people around you that are passionate as much as you are because you've built a team, right? It's not an order, you know, they're not taking orders and that kind of thing. It's not an easy culture to build. So, right.
I also think though it's important to say, and we have all seen this in this industry, of course, the acquisition of companies left and right.
Yeah,
and all of those companies have lost that mentality over the years because they have been acquired by larger companies. Not throwing names around, but I'm just saying. And it seems to me like when you lose that personal touch of ownership, you know,
when it becomes about the numbers and process only, and you forget about the customer and you forget about the people, then nobody cares.
And I say that because in this industry, unlike anything I've ever seen in any industry I've worked in, this industry is, I don't want to say entertainment, but it's really a person's way to break away from things like politics, from things like their day job, from things like, you know, stressful life at home. This is where they get outside and get that fresh air and enjoy their lives. You know what I mean? Like, so it's really hard for me, for you guys, for us, for anybody in the industry when you see like big companies come in, you know, and they bring in that mentality. You're like, oh no, man, please. Like, yep. No one wants that here. This is like the handshake mecca, you know. This is like, you know, real deal. So I just think it's interesting, like, you know, when you have the smaller companies, you have these giants who are just adapting, like, outsider.
They apply a business process to a business that it doesn't fit.
So, you're right. I think you're right. I think the whole the cookie cutter, you know, conglomerate situation, I think that is, you know, we see a lot of that in archery, and that's there's been a lot of great companies that have probably, you know, lost their identity along the way and have, you know, have kind of changed a little bit. And I think that's, you know, I've worked in the industry a long time, so I've been able to be a part of a lot of, you know, different organizations, and see how things are done at different levels. And, you know, I think that lets us know at the end of the day, you know, what we want to do with Cass. You know, we're undoubtedly the largest bowstring manufacturer, aftermarket bowstring manufacturer. But we still, you know, kind of what Braden said, I mean, we keep a very small company feel to it, you know, at the end of the day. A lot of people wondered, you know, when I did this 7 years ago, you know, it kind of makes me reminisce. I had people say, what in the world are you doing? Why are you doing bowstrings? There's 100 different bowstring manufacturers out there. Why would you go in there and do this? And while I'll say that bowstrings aren't necessarily sexy or exciting, you know, it's what we do though. And it's what we focus on. And we have a whole team of people that swing their feet out of bed every day, put them on the ground and think about how to build the best bowstrings and what can we do next? And I think that, you know, that and the family, you know, atmosphere and a small family owned company, you know, at the end of the day. Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of wind behind our sails when we have all those things going for us.
Thanks guys. I appreciate you joining us. You know, we love talking to y'all. You guys got your stuff together over there. You know, talking bowstrings, it's not everybody's doing it right. But it's important, you know, when it comes to maintaining your bow from the ground up day one, when you buy it, like you talked about, you know, why not start off with the best bow on the new investment that you just made, and you know, keep that OEM that came with it as your backup if you need to. But you know, a lot of great opportunity there for sure. But we appreciate you having us on, or having you coming on.
Thank you guys for having us on.
Appreciate you hosting us, and we'll have you on again here shortly, I'm sure.
Thank you for tuning into the show today. We hope you had a good time. Please make sure you hit that subscribe button and like button where you can. You can find us all over every platform. And don't forget to join our membership programs, have a lot of fun with the community here, and have a chance to win some really cool products. We'll see you soon.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.